What's up, Ortandians? This is your girl, Ortandia, and you are tuning in to your favorite podcast, none other than House of Ortandia. How are you guys doing? What's going on? What's going on in your world? What's going on in your life? Man, first and foremost, I just want to give a moment of silence for Miss USA, Miss Chesky Christ, Regina King's son, Sinead O'Connor's son, Amir Locke, who was killed by police in Milwaukee due to a no-knock warrant. I just want to give a moment of silence for all of these people. Thank you guys for that. If you don't know by now, I'm pretty sure it's been all over the place. Miss USA 2019, Miss Chris, she, you know, took her life. According to her mom, she was a functionally depressed person. And I guess at that point that she decided that, you know, she didn't want to go on, which is heartbreaking. And, you know, we can all look at her on the, from the outside and be like, oh man, she was Miss USA. She was a lawyer. She was so bright and intelligent and beautiful. But you never know what's going on the inside. Right. And then we got Regina King's son, who also took his life. And then people can say, well, oh, his mom is like uber famous. His mom has every film award that can be had. She has so much money, blah, blah, blah. He had access to all these resources, blah, 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 blah. But you don't know what was going on with that young man internally. Same thing for Sinead O'Connor's son. Sinead O'Connor is a singer. I think she's Irish, an Irish singer. But she had some hits in the 90s that were like global. She sang Nothing Compares to You. And I'm not sure of any of her other songs, but I definitely remember that song. But her song, her son took his life. And again, you're like, well, your mother is a global superstar, but you just never know. And so the saying used to go, check on your strong friends. No, check on everybody. Check on your strong friends, check on your quiet friends, check on your in the middle friends. Check on everybody. Just make sure people are okay, because we are in turbulent, crazy times. You don't know what this pandemic has done to people. You don't know if they've lost financially. You don't know what's going on with them mentally. You just don't know what's happening. So just check on people. Be compassionate, and check on people, and really care. You know, when you talk to people, ask them, how's your heart? And mean it, though. Don't just ask people, well, how's your heart? But you don't really care. No, ask them, how's your heart? And let them tell you. Listen for them. Listen for what they say. And then listen for what they're not saying. And then Amir Locke, he was killed in Milwaukee due to a no-knock warrant, which needs to be banned, because that's the same way Breonna Taylor was murdered by police. Amir was murdered by police the same way. This was early or mid-January. He was at a friend's house. The warrant wasn't for him. The warrant was for someone in that home. He was just there sleeping on the sofa. Of course, in a no-knock warrant, it's just that. They bust down the door. They don't announce themselves. They don't say, hey, police, we're entering. They don't have to do any of that. What they do is bust down your door. And so what would you do if someone would just burst into your door? If you have a weapon, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fire. Or if you're going to be scared, you're going to be startled, you know. And they're saying that he had a weapon on him, which was licensed. It's come out by his attorneys that weapon was licensed. He doesn't have any kind of criminal record. The warrant was not for him. He was just asleep on that person's sofa. But the fact of the matter is, no-knock warrants have to be the most stupid thing in the entire world. And so for police departments to still have that, just like they still have the chokehold, that is completely retarded. And all that we went through with Breonna Taylor's murder at the hand of a no-knock warrant. And here we go again 2 years later. So it's like, what y'all want? Y'all want the whole country to be burnt to the ground? Like, come on, dude, make changes. Make changes, you know? So, you know, this is not going to be a sad podcast, but I wanted to pay respect to those people And also, I wanted to say something to anyone listening to this podcast who, you know, maybe, you know, depressed, or maybe you don't call it depression. Maybe you're just sad a lot. Maybe you just don't want to do things. You just want to stay in bed, or you don't really want to be around people, or you're around a lot of people and you're laughing and you're making people laugh, but on the inside, you don't feel so good. On the inside, it's like, this doesn't really matter, or it wouldn't matter if I wasn't here, or whatever. You know what I mean? Only you know what that feels like. So I'm asking you, I'm telling you, don't let today be your last day. Don't do it. Tomorrow can always be better. Next week, better than that. And the week after that, better than that. So don't make this day your last day. Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. And so we're going to shift gears a little bit. And I'm going to come back. And when I come back, we're just going to talk about some other things that are on my mind. Because this is my podcast. So hold, stay tuned, and I'll be right back. I'm back. Okay. First of all, shout out to the LA Rams. Congratulations to your Super Bowl win. And just like the players, if you haven't seen some of the players' live videos, they was like, can't take this from me. They can't take this bleep from me. I love it. I loved it. I didn't watch the game. I was just more so, I'm an ODB fan, Odell Beckham Jr. He is a beautiful man. My. So I'm super happy for him that he has a ring. Although I understand he got hurt in the game. Nonetheless, he has a Super Bowl ring. I'm so proud of him. If you know Odell Beckham, give him this pot. Tell him to listen, tune in. Congratulations, Odell. How you doing? Hey. All right, reel it in. Let's get back. Let's bring it back. Okay. Shout out to the LA Rams. Let me tell you something. The Super Bowl, I did watch the halftime on YouTube. You know how people be recording stuff. So I watched the halftime show on YouTube, and then I watched, they had like a pre-gospel, or the, I don't know. I like, they had like gospel artists performing before the Super Bowl started. This had to be the blackest Super Bowl ever in life. They started out with Lift Every Voice and Sing with Mary and Mary, and they killed it. Although, was it just me? I felt like Erica's mic was up really, really loud, and Tina's microphone wasn't up as loud, because I could clearly hear Erica's voice. I couldn't hear Tina that much. Only when they were nearing the end, Tina's voice was coming in, because Tina has a strong voice. And so I just feel like her microphone wasn't up loud enough. Of course, they were harmonizing, you know, but I just felt like Erica's microphone was up crazy loud and Tina's was down too low. But y'all saw Tina. Tina had on, I think she had on Pumas or Nikes or something. She was like, look, let me tell you something. What I'm not about to do is stand up here in no high heels. I'm going to stand right here and sing this Lift Every Voice and Sing with my sneakers on. I love me some Tina Campbell. And they did a great job. I didn't watch any of the other, or even look for any of the other gospel clips. Maybe I will, to see who else performed. I did watch, like I said, I watched the Super Bowl halftime show. Snoop up in there, Crip walking. He got a whole clique of Dickie wearing, Crip dancing dancers. I was rolling. I'm not a fan of Dr. Dre. He's a woman beater. So I really don't care that he was there, or that it was his show. I don't really care. I was there for Snoop. I was there for Mary. Although, listen, I'm going to have some unpopular opinions about this Bo Hat Top Show, but I don't care. Mary J. I love Mary J. Her outfit, always on the nine, but that song, No More, I'm like, why are you singing No More Drama, girl? We know you from, you know that you remind me, from a love that I once knew. That's what I wanted to hear you sing. Ma'am, I don't want to hear you sing about No More Drama. And then you screaming into the mic. Girl, I'm proud that she was on that stage. I'm proud that she was up there looking fabulous at 51. But that song was a no for me. I wasn't, no ma'am. I wanted her to sing her oldies. What we knew, how we fell in love with Mary was her first album. So I wanted her to sing some songs from her first album. And then I didn't expect them to bring 50 out. 50 up there looking like a whole Mack truck. I'm like, sir, you're not 20-year-old 50 no more. You better take that tank top off before you choke yourself to death. He looked like... he looked like he could barely breathe. Oh, shorty. It's your birthday. Bruh, you go back and making movies. Make it. Go ahead and film some more episodes of Power. I'm serious, y'all. I'm not playing. But I love it that, okay, I'm critiquing everybody's performance, but I just love that they was all black and they was blackety black, 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 black. You got 50 Cent on the daggone show. Talk about I ain't in the sex. I'm in. What'd he say? What's the song? How the song go? Y'all know how the song go. On national TV. 50 Cent. Then you got Snoop Crip walking. Then you got Mary J. Blige kicking in the air with her boots on, with her booty shorts on. Then you got, what's the little fella name? Kendrick Lamar. I don't understand his performance at all. I don't know what was going on. Somebody said he had them grown men look like the kids from the Meteor Man. I never saw the Meteor Man, so I didn't really get the joke. But apparently it was an accurate joke. But I didn't get it. I wanted him to sing. Not sing, because he's not a singer. I wanted him to rap something that I actually knew. I wanted him to rap Sit Down, Be Humble. That's what I wanted him to rap. I didn't get that. I was disappointed that Dre didn't say anything about Nip. Like, that at the end of the show, it would have been perfect to say, shout out to Nip. We love you, Nip. You know, LA Nip, Big Nip, anything. He didn't make no, or Eazy-E. He didn't give no shouts to Eazy-E, Nipsey Hussle, Ice Cube. Like, sir, what is going on? You got Eminem out here. I'm not a fan of Eminem. I know y'all love Eminem. Is he a lyricist? Absolutely. I'm just not a fan. Now, that song he sang is my favorite song from him. You Only Get One Shot. That song is a beast. That song will motivate you. If you play that song, put that song on while you're in the gym. Baby, your 10-minute elliptical will turn into an hour-long elliptical ride. That song will get you crunk. I love that. I do love that song, though. I'm not going to lie. And like I said, Eminem is a lyricist. I can't take that from him. Nobody can't take that from him. But I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan. And so I'm glad he did sing that song. And who else? I think that was it. I don't think anybody else performed. But I just love that it was black. And it was all blackness. And it was just black and beautiful and black. That's it. I just loved it. But the main thing was ODB has a Super Bowl ring. So I'm super excited about that. Moving along. What else is on my chest that I want to get off to y'all? I wanted to shout out all the black athletes that are turning down Alabama. Y'all know Alabama is my school. But they're like, nope, we're going to an HBCU. They're turning down Georgia. That's turning down Florida State. That's turning down Florida, turning down Washington, Oregon, turning down Penn State. They're like, nope, we're going to Jackson State. I'm going to FAMU. I'm going to, they're like, nope, I'm going to Grambling. I'm going to, I'm going to Prairie View A&M. I'm so proud of these football and basketball athletes. I'm super proud of them. Because you know why? 100 years ago, not even 100, probably 50, 60 years ago, they didn't want the boys to come. Them boys to be in there on their campus, let alone play for their team. And now y'all want them to come, right? So y'all can make money off of their name, their likeness, their image, and all of that. And they're like, I'm telling you, they're like, they're waking up. Finally, they're waking up. Well, I can't say finally, because Rick Mahorn went to a black school. Y'all know Rick Mahorn from the Bad Boys. Walter Payton went to, I believe, Jackson State. Steve McNair, I think he played for Grambling. So we've always had some great athletes that have gone to HBCUs. But I think now back then, did we even know that Walter Payton was coming? You know what I mean? Like, now it's like we have social media to thank for that. It's everywhere. So when top tier athletes are you know, at their signing day, and then they're, you know how they do, they try to fake you out with what hat they're going to pick up, and then they pick up a Jackson State University hat, or they pick up a Prairie View A&M hat. You'd be like, mouth open, mouth drop. Or when athletes just straight out say, no, I'm going to the HBCU, you're like, wait, what? I know some commentators and sports commentators, they're saying, oh, these young men are ruining their future. They're not going to go high in the draft. You know, they won't be, because they won't get a lot of TV time, et cetera, et cetera. I disagree. I feel like, well, they're definitely going to get like a life experiences. From what I didn't go to an HBCU, and I regret that. I regret it wholeheartedly that I bypassed Alabama A&M, you know, Alabama State University, Oakwood College. I'm from Alabama, and I bypassed all these beautiful schools, you know, and I regret that to this day. And they're going to get a life. They're going to learn about themselves. They're going to learn about who they are. They're going to learn their history the correct way. They're going to know who they really are, what their people really accomplished and really did in this country, not just from a place of, oh, we were slaves, but they're going to know that their people created, innovated, built, designed, owned, were multimillionaires in the midst of the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and so on and so forth. And so they're going to learn this, just, man, and they're going to be immersed in their culture. I feel like they'll be better prepared when they get out of school. And so, you know, I don't know, especially those that are going to Jackson State, because Deion Sanders, I mean, come on. Who, you think he gonna let them just not be drafted? Like, him alone coaching at an HBCU is bringing a lot of attention to the school. So I think he'll teach his athletes how to prepare themselves for the draft and how to even go higher in the draft. You know what I'm saying? Furthermore, I feel like more top-tier athletes, not top-tier, more professional, retired black football and basketball players, I feel like they should go and coach. If they really have the ability to coach, I feel like they should go and coach at HBCUs. Now, that's what I feel. I'm glad, because Deion could have coached anywhere. He could have coached at the University of Georgia. I'm sure Florida State would have given him an assistant coaching job, or Miami would have given him an assistant coaching job, but he chose to go to JSU. You know, so I feel like if more of Deion Sanders is in the world would go to these schools and bring, and he recruits, man, he's an awesome recruiter. And like I said, the more these athletes will go to these schools and coach, everybody's trying to be a commentator, everybody trying to be on ESPN, one, two. No, go coach somewhere. If you're not a good coach, then go ahead on ESPN and do your show. But if you feel like you can coach, because what in Deion Sanders in him felt like he could go coach. All he ever did was play. You know what I'm saying? He's a great coach. They were like 11-1 or something like that. And so I just feel like it needs to be a turnaround. Like stop elevating white spaces. Like white spaces is the go-to. Like we need white spaces to get anywhere in this world. Like I'm not with that. I don't rock with that. And I'm proud of these young men and women for going to HBCU. Oh, and by the way, shout out to my nephew, London. He just got accepted into Morehouse. Whoop, whoop. My niece, his sister, is already at Spelman. Whoop, whoop. And so I'm so proud of them. I'm going to get me a t-shirt or a sweatshirt that says Spelman and Morehouse Aunt. I'm super proud. I'm so proud. I'm so proud. But they were both going to an HBCU anyway. You know, like that was their desire. You know, was no plan B. And I'm so happy for them. My nephew also wanted to go to FAMU, but those were the two choices. It was going to be FAMU, Tennessee State, or Morehouse. And because his sister was at Spelman, he was like, I'm going to go to Morehouse too. So I'm proud of him. Yes. So anywho, what else do I want to talk about? I'm going to leave y'all with this. This was fire. I mean, okay, I'm going to critique it, though. I'm going to critique it, but I do want you guys to go check it out. It's a show, not really a reality show, but it's called Startup.
And it's this guy who travels from city to city talking to entrepreneurs. If you put, it's come, you can watch like episodes on YouTube. So just put it in startup and it should come up. But I think they're up to season 9. So this season 9 episode I'm talking about. And so he was in Wilmington, North Carolina, and he went and talked to the owner of True Colors Brewery. You know, they make beer and all that kind of stuff. So he went and talked to the guy. So it's a white guy. And so he was like, tell me the concept. What is this brewery that you got going on here? Beautiful build, beautiful facility, top of line, everything. So the guy, first of all, the guy is like, he's super rich. He's like, he comes from the tech world. He's an older guy. He looked like he's like in his maybe late 50s, early 60s. He's an older gentleman. And he said, I got the idea for this, for True Colors. Remember the word True Colors. This is the reason for that. He said, because I saw a drive-by shooting. I witnessed a drive-by shooting. And I was like, what is going on? There was so much violence going on here in Wilmington. There in Wilmington, North Carolina. And he was like, I reached out to the, there was so much gang violence going on here. He was like, so I reached out to the police. I was like, what can I do to help? Like, I want to talk to these guys. I just want to know, you know, why, what's going on with them? Why are they so violent? Da, 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 da. So the police connected him with the gang task force in that city. So the gang task force guys, he was like, he told them, I want to talk to the guy that's like the gangster. I want to talk to the real leaders. And so the gang task force connected him with a couple of guys, and he brought him to his business. He didn't have the brewery yet. He just, you know, brought him to his, he just had like his business office. Because you remember, he's a tech guy. And he brought him, he said, I want to talk to you guys. He was like, you know, tell me about, like, why are you guys in gangs? Like, what's that about? And so he said he was shocked to learn that gang members aren't out here they just love to kill. I mean, you got some. But he was like, these guys, they have like the ones that he talked to anyway, have like well-organized gangs. Like they have like manuals and they have stuff that they live by. Like we live by these rules and principles and this and that. And so he was like, so, you know, why y'all doing this? And he was like, well, we don't have no money, we don't have jobs, blah, 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 blah. And so he was like, okay. So he listened to him, went back, said, you know what? I'm going to start this thing here. I'm going to start this. And he was like, violence is going on because, but they're committing violence because of economics. So if I can change that with an economic solution. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build this brewery right here in Wilmington, and I'm going to hire these gang members. Rival gang members. He got Bloods in there. He got Crips in there. He got GDs in there. I think he got some Vice Lords in there. He got like hate each other, just shot, was shooting at your crew last night, gang members in there. And so the dude that was interviewing him was like mouth open, like, wait, what? You got people working side by side that hate each other? He was like, yeah. He was like, but it's working. So if you want to Google, I promise you, it's True Colors Brewery, Wilmington, North Carolina. Just Google that and they'll read their history, their story. And so it's TRU color. And it's crazy. And so he just brings them in. He trains them. He starts them out at like $35,000 a year. Some of them come fresh out of prison. He bring them in. It's like a 6-month boot camp they have to go through where, you know, they're learning to work side by side with a rival. You know what I'm saying? And to hear those young men talk, I mean, they still got their flags. I mean, they still got their bandanas around their head. They still tatted up. Ain't nobody, you know what I mean? But they're like, yeah, I'm able to take care of my family. I'm able to, you know, provide for my family. I'm able to buy this and go here and go there. And some of them are like, wait, this was the kicker for me. He was like, these guys, if they know how to sell drugs, they can sell anything. He was, what drew my attention when he kept saying it, I was like, my pastor says the same thing. My pastor says drug dealers are nothing but entrepreneurs. Like they have a perverted talent. It's perverted, but they're business owners. So this white dude was like, if you can convince people to join your gang, you would be awesome in HR. He was like,
I knew if you can sell drugs, you can sell anything. You can, I know I can get you this. I can make, you can make, you can train my salespeople. It was crazy. Y'all gotta watch it. It was crazy. And my critique is like, why did they take this white old man to do this? We got so many black multi-billionaires and millionaires, but it took him to do that. You know, Michael Jordan is in freaking North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, why? And he said, I'm gonna be honest. He said, I have, you know, some, no violence has happened at the facility, but he's like, I have heard like violence has happened because you got rivals working side by side. So people have gotten hurt and fought, and some instances even gotten killed. But that number is small in comparison to all the gang members that work there and are making money. Okay. One of them was like, I'm going to tell you about two of them. I know I'm doing all the spoiler alerts, but one of them, he said he had been in prison for 10 years. And then two months after getting released from prison, he got hired there. And they were talking about, they call him Tank. He big dude. You know, all he did was work out. I mean, what else you do in prison? So he was a big dude. All he cared about was health and wellness. And so they was talking to him, you know, while he was going through their onboarding and, you know, their boot camp time. And he was like, all I want to do is be able to teach the people here how to be in shape and how to be healthy. Right now, to this day, that young man is the director of their health and wellness program, making a good billion, not good billion, making a whole, a darn near six figures, if not six figures. Because I think that was filmed like last year or year before. Making doggone six figures. 10 years in prison. Some of us got master's degrees, ain't making no six figures, baby. And then never seen the inside of a jail. So this program, it's not even a program. It's like a social enterprise, if you will. He's solving a problem like stopping the gang violence in his city and getting them employed. And not just giving them like $10 an hour. The minimum salary for everybody walking in the door is $35. And that's for 6 months. And so you go through this boot camp, the 6 month boot camp, so he can figure out, or his team can figure out, where you're best suited. So some of those guys are in sales, some of those guys are in marketing, some of those guys are in HR, and they're making way more than, they're making like 60, 70 grand. You know, can you, bruh, like their lives are, they did interview some of the guys that were in there. The one guy, he was like, my life has changed. My life has changed. And that's crazy. That is a good crazy. That is crazy how and he's still in business. And he was like, so the guy was like, okay, so how you making money though? the guy that was interviewing him, he was like, you know what? I haven't made a dime yet. He was like, I'm really funding this out of my pocket. He was like, and then he was like, I was funding this out of my pocket for like the first couple of years. He was like, now, you know, I have some other investors. I think he said Coors. You know, Coors Beer, they invested a lot of money into it. And so he got a bunch of rich friends. So a lot of his rich friends are invested. And he was like, I think 2020, this year, he was like, we got so many sales orders from like Whole Foods to Walmart to Kroger's to all over the country. And so I'm not about to go tell you to go buy that beer because I'm not prepared. I'm not promoting beer drinking, but I'm just saying, if you see it in the store, just be like, wow, that right there has lessened. And it's kind of like, you know that the act itself is lessening gang violence down in Wilmington, but it's like, but it's promoting alcoholism in other people's lives. So it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like a double-edged sword kind of thing. I'm glad that those young men are gainfully employed. I'm glad that those young men are making great money. But at the same time, I hate that they're producing this kind of stuff. And that this even more so, I hate that it took a older white, again, and I'm going to keep saying, if you don't like what I'm saying, then listen to somebody else. That it took a white multimillionaire to do this. And I'm like I said, North Carolina is Michael Jordan territory, Michael Jordan land. So, and I don't know what Michael Jordan is doing for his state. I have no idea. He might have some, I don't know. So I can't really try to throw Mike under the bus. But I'm just saying, it shouldn't be. I don't believe in a white savior. I do not. And but I am for these young men, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them. And then they just, yeah. And it's so funny because when you watch the show, like they said, they tatted up. They got, some of them got their bandanas on their wrist. So you know what I'm saying? They still represent their colors. You know, but it's just, yeah. I just thought I gotta share that with the pod, man. I got to share that with the pod. So go check it out. It's called Startup. And I know you can watch it on YouTube. I'm not sure what channel. I think it may be on PBS too, I believe. But I watch it on YouTube mostly. But yeah, and I just wanted to talk to y'all a little bit, get some things off my chest, congratulate some people, and talk about some things. Y'all know how I do. I just talk because y'all are my, I just felt like talking on the couch of my, you know, you go to see your therapist, you sit on their sofa. I'm sitting on my sofa and I'm talking to y'all, you know? And so thank you guys for listening once again for 4 years strong. Thank you so much. Thank you for my new listeners. Thank you for, yeah, I just want to encourage y'all again. I think I've said this in before. I'm pretty sure I have. Your voice is important. So if you want to do a podcast, do a podcast. You know, if you want to do a YouTube channel, do a YouTube channel. If you want to do, you know, Insta stories, do Insta stories. Your voice is important. Whatever you have to say is important. Don't let nobody tell you nothing. I don't care if you are left of center. I don't care if you are saying everything opposite to what everybody else is saying. So what? I do. Y'all heard me. You know, y'all, I critiqued the whole Super Bowl halftime show. I sure did. You know, I don't care. Like, I call out the police. I don't care. I call out politicians. I call out athletes, singers, actors. I don't care. Senators, mayors, governors, presidents. I don't care. I'll call you out because I can and I will. My voice matters and I get to do and say what I want to say. Okay. Yeah, and that's it. And have a great rest of your day, week, month, and year. And like I always say, y'all, what do I always say? Y'all know, I want to see you in heaven with me, and I'm out.